Good morning. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. What an honor. What a privilege to be among my brothers and sisters in Jamaica. I'm sure that the motherland is rejoicing right now. My name is Max Moyo. I'm really sorry that Max Mayo couldn't make it, but I came in his place. Of the Moyo clan, of the Rosie Kingdom, we are the original custodians of what you now know as the Great Zimbabwe Ruins. And I've often said that if the Moyo clan were to come back together again, we would be the largest monarch in Southern Africa. I am the son of Ham, the son of Noah, the son of Methuselah, the son of Seth, the son of Adam and Eve. You see, I introduced myself this way, and I always do in all my talks. By the way, I talk for a living. I know the rest of you have to work. I suppose Pastor and I talk for a living. But I introduce myself the way I do, firstly, because I'm African, and it's African tradition that you have not earned the right to speak to people until you have formally introduced yourself. But perhaps more importantly, I introduce myself the way I do because ultimately in life, who you are will determine what you do with your life. In other words, what you do with your life is a function of who you are. And so if you don't know who you are, then what you do with your life doesn't really matter. So, let's get excited about life. Since we're talking about money, and I love to talk about money, I know most preachers don't like preaching about money. I love it. In fact, it's my favorite topic. Money. So let's start here. How many Christians do we have in church today? Let me see the hands of those of you who are Christians. The whole church? Did you see the whole church? That's good news. How many of us actually return tithes faithfully? Operating word being faithfully. I see things have changed a little bit. We seem to have very few Christians in the room. Now, if you've been an Adventist as long as I've been, you're now thinking, don't be judgmental, Max. You're not perfect. But we're going to talk about money, so now, listen to me. Who you are determines how much money you will ever make in your life. I want you to make sure that sinks into your mind. Because after today, no one is going on their knees and praying to God about money. God does not have money. He walks on it. What did I say? Who you are determines what you do with how much money you're going to make in your life. So if you don't know who you are going to be broke. And so if you find yourself at the end of the month unable to pay your bills, your problem is not money, your problem is identity. Can I go deeper with that? If you don't know who you are, if you do happen to make money and you still don't know who you are going to spend all of your money trying to buy identity. I had a look at the cars outside. Nothing wrong with driving a fancy car. But you see, the problem comes when you don't know who you are. The fancy car becomes your identity. And so we measure ourselves according to what we have, possessions, or what position we hold. I'm sure it doesn't happen in Jamaican churches, but I've been an Adventist for a long time. Third generation. I have seen it all. I have heard it all. even the politics of the church. Ever heard of the church elder who doesn't want to step down? It doesn't happen here. I mean, it happens in the other churches. It's election time. Now we elected a new church elder, but we don't know what to do with elder so-and-so. Who's going to go tell him that he's not going to be church elder anymore? So what do? We create a special portfolio. Why are we obsessed about positions? Because you see, the reason why you would not want to step down from a position is because your identity is in the position that you hold. Now here's where your money comes in. If you don't know who you are going to spend your money trying to buy identity. Now this is a problem. God says he wants 10%. But you want the BMW. So what do you choose? He says, bring all the tithes and offerings. Test me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There will not be room enough. You're thinking, yeah, right. I returned tithe the last time and the windows did not open. See, who you are determines how you spend your money. And so if you are not returning your tithe, the issue is you are still not too sure about who you are. But where is that lack of knowledge when it comes to who we are? It's because actually at the root of it is that we don't know God. We don't know God. Do you know how I know? I grew up in the church. It's a bit of a challenge when you grow up in the church. Because you know so much about God. But you do not know God. Because if you knew God, even if that 10% is all that is left between you and life, you would give it to God. Because you know that the very breath that you have comes from him. Are we together? Now, for those of you who are not returning tithes, you're not alone. The entire Adventist church, only 35% of members actually return tithe. And so I've made it my business. It doesn't matter where I go, I'm going to talk about money. You know why? Go to the book of Malachi and you're going to find something like this. God says, if you do not return tithes, I am going to cut holes in your pocket. Oh, you see, you know why we don't know God? Because we don't read the Bible. Are you seeing the pattern here? Now, it's okay if the devil cuts holes in your pockets. Because then I could plead the blood of Jesus over my pockets. But if God himself cuts holes in your pocket, you've got nowhere to go. Are you still with me? I know we all love God. So don't feel judged. We have to have these conversations. Because ultimately your wealth is in the relationship with God. I've discovered that actually money is not the issue. In fact, tithing and offering acts as a dipstick to check your spirituality. The closer you get to God, the more you give to God. The further you are from God, the less you give to God. Now here's our challenge. Our challenge comes from, first of all, so if I don't know who I am, I'm struggling already with my identity. And the chances is, if I don't know who I am, I also don't know what talents and gifts I have been given. So not knowing who I am leads to low self-esteem. And so you are angry because the pastor did not greet you last Sabbath. You can tell I'm Adventist, don't you? Because we Christians get upset very easily, don't we? To the extent that we'll leave that church and go somewhere else. knowing who I am, identity, leads me to knowing what my talents and gifts are. Knowing my talents and gifts and then engaging my talents and gifts leads me to purpose. And as I manifest the purpose that I am, the money will follow. Money always follows purpose. No one has ever lived their purpose and wanted for money. Are you with me? Let me ask another question. Looks like I'm running out of time. So you never give an African brother a few moments because he takes 15 minutes to introduce himself. Let me ask another question. How many of us in here have been Christians for 5 years or more? You see the answer? Most of you? Some of you were born Christian. Now, how many of those of us who've been Christians for 5 years or more have read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at least once in your Christian life? Lord, help me. And we wonder why we would not return tithe. If you don't read the Bible, you don't know God. You see, the challenge that we face in Christendom is the fact that we have a lot of people who know about God. And that's a very dangerous person who knows about God. You know why? Because our understanding of God is from a humanistic point of view. And when you understand God from a humanistic point of view, you make God small. And more often than not, we make God so small and we make the devil so big. Are you with me? The title of the message, as you saw, was "Who is the Lord that I should what? Obey him." You know who said that? It was Pharaoh. Moses goes to Egypt because God has told him, go tell Pharaoh that the God of the Hebrews wants us to go out and go and sacrifice. So Pharaoh says to Moses, who is the Lord that I should what? Now you've read that story so many times and you think, you know this Pharaoh, what a stubborn fellow. And you forgot that story is about you. Because every time you refuse to obey God, you are asking the same question, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He says, return your tithe. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Now here's where it gets painful for me. Bible says, go ye therefore unto all the world and make what? Disciples. So you don't return tithe and you are making disciples. What kind of disciples are you making? People that don't return tithe. Note, I picked up tithe because it's a function. We're talking about money. But there are many other things we don't do that God asks us to do. So when you fail to obey God, and then you go out and you make disciples, you're just replicating yourself. Are you with me? So now, let's take a step back. How many of us were born in poverty? Max, I'm a self-made man. If I look at where I've come from, only God could have taken me through. How many of us are disadvantaged, as we'd like to say? I love the statement. Some of you are becoming smarter now. You're not going to answer these questions because you're worried about what's going to come next. Did you know there's not a single person who was born in a disadvantaged environment? Including myself, between my mother and father, they had 3 years of education. But I'm still not previously disadvantaged. When I was growing up, we were so poor, poor people thought we were poor. You know you're poor when a poor person says, shame. That's poverty. But I'm still not previously disadvantaged. You know why? Because I believe in God. And my birth and your birth was a direct result of God's planning. Well, this is some deep stuff. See, your background is not accidental. Your background is perfect. Let me put it differently. I happen to be fortunate enough to be on Ian Boyne's program, or rather, yes, yesterday. So I had an interview with Ian. And so part of the conversation I had with him, I said, there's no such thing as a disadvantaged background. He says, what do you mean? And I said this. Your background is or was the necessary pressure cooker to prepare you for your purpose. So God needed a child to be born in Jamaica. Are you listening to me? For a specific purpose. And he says, in order for this child to be prepared for the purpose for which I'm creating him, he needs to be born in Shantytown. In fact, this particular child mustn't even know who his father is. And that one, the parents are going to be drunks. Are you going with, are you seeing where this is going? You see, I cannot fathom a God who is too busy in Afghanistan. You know, they've always had problems in Afghanistan, right? So he's busy in Afghanistan, and he turns around and looks in Rhodesia, where I was born, in the middle of racism. And he says, oops, Max. I'm sorry, man. I was too busy. I didn't realize you'd be born black in a racist society. Are you getting this? So then I understand that God purposed that I be born in 1966 in Rhodesia in the height of racism, because that was the necessary pressure cooker to prepare me for my purpose. I love the children's story, and they say what? 4444. Esther, perhaps what? You were born for such a time as this. That's the message today, that you and I were born for such a time as this. Now watch what your God says. He says, for I knew you before you were born. You were formed where? In your mother's womb. Therefore, if God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, it follows, therefore, that it was his plan that you should be born. Are you getting this? Then he goes a step further and says, I know what plans I have for you. There are plans to what? To prosper you, not to harm you. So if you are not prospering, you are not connecting to your source. A lot of us have made the mistake about prosperity. We think prosperity is about what? Cash. I know a lot of cash flush individuals who are miserable. In fact, even when I was growing up, the rich kids, they would rather come to my house and eat what the poor folk eat than be in their own house, because when you walked into that big mansion, it was as cold as ice. When you came to my grandmother's house, oh, what love. Are you still with me? But it is God's idea that each one of you should prosper. But that prosperity comes from linking up with your Father, knowing who you are. 3 years ago, I quit my job as a director of a company in Cape Town to do what I do. I remember telling my brother, no, I'm going to quit my job. And he says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to talk. He says, Max, talking is a hobby. Get a job. If I had not obeyed the voice of God, I would not be here today. And I believe that I'm not here by accident, but that before you and I were formed in our respective mother's womb, this meeting was already decided. And so I'm here today because somebody is at the crossroads. I'm here today because God is raising a new army of true believers. Because if we don't do the work we're supposed to do, he ain't coming. He's not coming until we do what we're meant to do. He says before he left, he says, occupy till I come. I'm so glad that the Adventist church occupies in Jamaica. I haven't seen so many churches in one place. Every corner I hit, Seventh-day Adventist, every corner. I'm thinking, man, when I get home, I'm going to say, guys, we are being left behind. We've got to do some more serious work. And I'm sure the next time I come to Jamaica, every Jamaican, we're going to stop building churches and we're going to start taking over churches. Oh no, it's already happening. It's already happening where entire churches will convert and become Adventist. But in order for that to happen, you and I need to connect. If you don't connect, you don't have power. Now come on, guys. How many of you have learned, knelt down? You know, I love talking to Adventists because we understand each other. Now you're on your knees praying for healing. You're praying, but you think, nah, it's not gonna happen. Oh come on, guys. How many times have we prayed, yet in our minds we have this thing that says, you know what? It's not gonna happen. That's why we don't say silver or gold if I none, but what I have, I freely give in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. But Christ, when he left, what did he say? Greater works than I have done will you do. I haven't even done what Christ did. Well, why? And this has been a question for me because I grew up in the church. That's why? In fact, in the olden days, by the time the elders come to lay hands on you and anoint you, you know you're dead. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know you're gone. They're just giving you the last rites. But if we could only connect to the power that is available to us. There was a time when God's church decided who became ruler. There was a time when the church was powerful. Now you know what we do? If you can relate to a prime minister or something else, you look at me. I'm close to the prime minister. It should be the other way around. Heads of state should be like Nicodemus, sneaking up to your house and say, brother, pray for me. Are you getting the picture? When we have the power, we will not need to preach much. They'll come to us. Christ was so powerful, people will follow him and forget to eat. 3 days, no food. Try and ask, guys, we're going to fast for 3 days. Say, what? Are you getting the picture? So let's, why am I talking about this? Because, you know, we can talk about money. I can tell you strategies of how to make more money. But that's not relevant. If you connect with God the way you should, the money is a given. Money always pursues purpose. I'll give you an example. In South Africa, former President Nelson Mandela, as you all know, spent 27 years in jail. He comes out after 27 years, becomes the first black president of South Africa. I know he was making about a million South African rands. which is the equivalent of about $100,000 a year. He retired after one term, so he worked for 5 years. Now, a lot of us were working while Mandela was in prison. The guy retired wealthy. In fact, when he died, he left millions for his family. Not his family only, but he's putting millions of children through school. And yet, those of us who are working are still broke. Guy works for 5 years, retires. You've been working for 30 years, you can't afford 1 month without pay. What does it say? Something is wrong. Because God never created us to struggle. Our struggle should be a spiritual one, not a physical one. So sometimes it's better to go back and just look at the example. So what has happened over time is because our relationship with God is weak, we've allowed evil to take over. You can chase evil out of Kingston if you connect with God the way you should. How do I know? Let's look at Abraham. Abraham, God says to Abraham, I want you to leave and go to a country I will show you. The man obeys God. He doesn't ask who's God that I must follow him. He takes off to a country that God is going to what? Show him. He gets there somewhere in a place, well, near the tree of Moreh, as they put it. If you read that story, he goes on and God explains how he gets there. He builds an altar to God, and there God speaks to him. And then there's a sentence left here. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites resided in the land. So when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, this story, if I take that last line off, the story is still relevant. And I know that God is a God of very few words. He doesn't waste words. So he adds that. So I watch anyway. Then there's fair man. Abraham runs away to Egypt. He gets there. And then, you know, we realize how weak he is. He says to his wife, listen, honey, you know I love you. But this guy's going to kill me. So you tell them you're my sister. But we see God intervening. And then he comes out of Egypt wealthier than before. So wealthy that when they get back to the land that the Lord promised him, here's what's interesting. The Lord is telling that story. So Moses is telling the story. So they get there. And it says that there was quarreling between who? It wasn't Abraham and Lot. Who quarreled? The herdsmen. Now here's where I'm going to. The herdsmen are quarreling. But in the bottom line it says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites resided in the land. I see it again. Now I'm beginning to think, wait a minute. So this must be important. Now I figure out, when Abraham and Lot left their original home, he had servants already, the Bible says. But now his wealth has expanded that he's had to hire the Canaanites and the Perizzites. As what? As herdsmen. So then I realized one thing. The quarrel is not physical. The quarrel is what? Spiritual. But look at what Abraham and Lot do. They don't solve that problem spiritually. What do? They sought a human solution to a spiritual problem. The story of our lives. Abraham says, look, man, we don't need to quarrel. If you go south, I'll go north. So they do what? They said. And you know, whenever family separates, what happens? Drama starts. So Lot looks up, sees the greenery towards Jordan. He says, I'm going that side. Thanks, uncle, but I'm going to take this side. And so we see Lot, first of all, camped at the border of what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that story? Right. Fast forward. So God appears again to Abraham, says, listen, look to the north, to the south, to the west, and as far as your eyes can see, I'll give it to you. Not how wealth comes through God. as far as what? God is not broke. He can give you more than you've ever imagined. But he needs what? Connection. Now watch this. Because this is very important. If we don't read our Bible, we are faced with the problem of giving human solutions to spiritual problems. Our people are broken, church. What do? We get a money specialist to come and speak. Human solutions to a spiritual problem. Are you with me? What's the problem of this? The next time we read about Lot, where is he now? He's no longer camped at the border. He's now the mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, you don't believe me? Go read the story. The angels of the Lord. Now, God is fed up now. See, I like God. See, God has always been in charge. Can I repeat that again? If you start reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and that's the end of this message, I'm going to challenge you to do so, which is what I do across the world. I challenge people to do what? Read the Bible. When you read the Bible, one of the things you're going to discover is that God has always been in charge from the day he created the world up to now. There's one other thing that I've discovered. Everything that has ever happened to you in life, God has okayed it. Now that's going to be a bitter pill for some of us to swallow. Go read your Bible. If it's suffering, he's okayed it. If it's death, he's okayed it. If it's sickness, he's okayed. Go read for yourself. Now, there are two differences. The one is, there is drama that comes into your life because God is purifying you for a greater purpose. Then there's drama that comes into your life because you refuse to obey God. Either way, you will pay the price. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Get used to it. A lot of times we like to think about how, if I accept Christ, because sometimes when we preach to people, we like to make them feel, come this way, man, where there's always what? We forget we're supposed to joy in tribulation. Out of our struggle is where the gold and the diamonds are forged. Look at anyone who's ever achieved anything great for God, and you see someone who's been through pressure. Without pressure, you remain a child in the things of God. Paul says, I wish I could share with you the meat and bones, but now I can keep feeding you the milk because you refuse to grow. It is time that the Adventist church took its rightful place as the head of all churches. As I believe it was never meant to be the Catholic Church. It was always meant to be us. Just like the children of Israel, we are chosen for such a time as this. But we better learn a lesson from the children of Israel, because God is no respecter of persons. If we continue to refuse to do that which we were born to do, God will take it away and give it to someone else. And we remain saying we are the remnant. Oh, come on, brothers and sisters. I think we need to get to know this God. Somebody said to me the other day, this makes, I can't read the Bible, it's boring. I said, if the Bible is boring, you haven't read it. The Bible should come with a no under 25. There are some stories in that Bible that no one young should read. And there is nothing you will go through in life that does not exist in the Bible already. Nothing. I promise you, your situation has already happened in the Bible before. And if it has, the solution to your situation already exists in the same Bible. Before I started speaking, I read every book I could read on motivation and all that stuff. After a while, I realized one thing. These guys are copying from the Bible. And if you grew up in an Adventist home, there's 25 Bibles in your home. and you're trying to find the solution to the problems of the world somewhere else. You know, the world doesn't know what to do. Leaders don't know what to do. America used to think they knew what to do until 9/11. If you read the report on 9/11, you discover they had no clue whether they were going left or right. They had no answers. Now, here's the problem. When world leaders have got no answers, they come to the church. And what does the church say? We have no abiding city here. Let me tell you, because this is important. You know, Africa was sold to communism because the church refused to get involved in politics. It's 1959 or somewhere there, Ghana becomes the first country to receive independence. Kwame Nkrumah, the leader of Ghana, goes to the missionaries then and he says, listen, we were just a bunch of tribal leaders and now we've become a nation. We don't know much about running nations. So does the church have a blueprint that we can follow? What did the church say? No, we're not involved in politics. We have no abiding city here. We are going to some other land, so we're not of this world. So when the church refused to give help, what did he do? He turned to other philosophies. And of course, when he got to China, China says, no, we do have a solution. It's called what? And as a result of that, Africa has suffered for over 60 years under the grip of communism because the church refused to get involved. And I pray that will not happen in Jamaica. We have a solution to the world's problems, but we have a responsibility of doing what? Sharing it with those in power. You know why? Because God works in families, communities, and nations. Go read the Bible again. When God punishes a nation, what happens to you? You are in the nation, aren't you? If the nation is involved in evil, what happens to you? Oh, I know. No, I'm Seventh Adventist Max. I got the three angels message. Oh, good for you. Maybe you are okay. What about your wife? You don't know what's going on in her heart. Maybe she's okay. What about their children? Because your children are faced with this evil every day. Now let me prove this. Noah is now the mayor of what? I need to close. So Noah is now the mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels come. Now God is going to destroy the city for what? For wickedness. Abraham has a conversation with God. God says, if I find one man, if I find 10 people, I won't destroy. He gets there. Now here's what happens. The angels get to Sodom and Gomorrah. They get into Lot's house. And then what happened? Men, grown men, and young men want to sleep with the angels. Isn't the nations of the world fighting for homosexuality to be part of the constitution? So if God punished Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to punish who? Ah, yes. The angel said to Noah, listen, you need to get out of here. So Noah finally only leaves with who? With his wife and two daughters. Now we know Noah brought up his daughters well because they were virgins, but they were at the age of what? Of marriage. They were brought up in a good Adventist home. The wife could not survive because you can't stay in evil long enough before evil gets inside of you. It might not show when things are going well, but under pressure, you will default to. Angels, the Lord says, run to the mountain and save yourself. Noah says, no, sir. I can't go. Lord says, no, sir. I can't go to the mountain. Let me go to that city, to that little town called Zoar. Zoar is meant to be destroyed. So God says, I want to destroy that city. Go there. He goes there, and Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. But next time we'll read about Lot, where is he now? Back in the hills where he was told to go before. How often does God tell us to go a particular way and we argue with God? And then we end up? Now watch what evil does the same daughters that were brought up well are in the hills with their father. And one day the elder one says, let us get our father drunk so we can do what? They had left Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah was inside of them. If we don't push evil backwards, we run the risk of losing our children. Because under pressure, we resort to human solutions to spiritual problems. And sometimes the human solutions make sense. Remember what Lot said to the men of Sodom and Gomorrah? Why don't you take my daughters? No father in his right mind would give his daughter even for one man to violate. There is Noah trying to keep the men from messing around with the angels. So that was he was trying to do a good deed, but he was bringing a human solution to a spiritual problem. How often do we do that? Because we don't know God that well, we are going to look for a human solution to a spiritual problem. Abraham is no exception. When he was getting old, Sarah says, listen, my sweetheart, we need an heir, so why don't you go into my option one? Abraham doesn't consult God. He says, honey, I think you're right. This is what God would want me to do. And there starts the conflict that has lasted. The Arabs and the Jews continue to fight to this day. That's what happens when you bring human solutions to the spiritual problem. So I want to close on this point, that my challenge to you is to begin to read the Bible, hopefully starting tonight. You start from Genesis. Every single day of your life starting today, you will read 15 chapters of the Bible. Not verses. 15 chapters. I need to repeat it because some of you are thinking, may the guy who speaks an African accent, I can't hear him properly. 15 chapters. Now, before you all start saying this guy's crazy, it'll take you about an hour and a half to read 15 chapters of the Bible. So cut out that favorite program called Generations. Yeah? I heard you watch Generations, so cut it out and read it. Notice I didn't say study the Bible. What did I say? Read it like you would read a novel. What are you looking for? Who is God? What is he like? What is he doing? Who am I? What is my relationship with God? What is God's responsibilities? What are my responsibilities? That's all you're looking for. So every day you read your 15 chapters. After that, no, you don't go pray and say, I need my food, my water. No. After that, spend about 15 minutes just hallowing his name. So if he says, I'm God Almighty, what are you going to say? You are God Almighty. If he says, I'm Jehovah, you say, you are Jehovah. In other words, you speak his word back to him. Now, this is so powerful, church. If you get it right, I know you are growing in leaps and bounds. But if you get it right, Kingston will transform. So, what we do with my wife is that we wake up in the morning, I go sit somewhere and I read my 1 hour. My 1 hour, I do 15 chapters, and she goes and reads this. After we finish, we come together, and for the next 20 minutes, what do? We hallow the Lord. And those who have started doing this, even those of you who are parents of teenagers, don't know what to do. You get your teenagers to start reading the Bible, they will transform. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's what I can guarantee you. If you do this faithfully, you will go through the Bible every 90 days. Which means in a year, you will have gone through the Bible how many times? 4 times. Go read the start of this church and you see what they were doing. They spent most of their time, do not? In the Bible. power resides in that book. I have challenged people to do this, and there were people who, for years, I remember this woman, for years, she was estranged from her mother, didn't speak. She starts reading the Bible. One day she calls me, she says, I don't know what happened, but my mother and I are like the best of friends. You won't even see it. You are just going to see areas of your life transforming as you what? Saturate yourself in the Word. That's the trick. Because we are already saturated in what? In the world. That's why under pressure, what do? We look for human solutions. So if you saturate yourself in the Word, under pressure, what do? My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. I don't have to take shortcuts. It's not according to who I know. It's whose I am. I could have never guessed that I will be on profile with Ian Boyd. Not in my life. Dallas and I met last year. I was a speaker at the Million Dollar Round Table. And you know, when an Adventist speaks, it doesn't matter where you are. And we connect. You Adventist too? And the rest is, I don't know how many people I have had the privilege of touching since I landed in Morbay last Sunday. I've spoken in 2 separate churches and a school. And now I'm here. I have touched more people in the 3 years that I've been living my purpose than I have done in my entire 48 years. When you begin to read the Bible, God will begin to speak to you about who you are, identity. He will also tell you about the talents and gifts He's already put inside of you. Then He will quicken those talents and gifts. And then He will show you your purpose. And then when you walk into your purpose, the money always follows. So I challenge you this morning to try my God. Most of us sit here with the knowledge of God that is secondhand. In other words, you hear it from Max preaching, from the pastor preaching. If you're not listening to a pastor, what do? You're going to buy books written by other people about God. So your knowledge of God is consistently secondhand. When you read the Bible, you get first-hand knowledge of God. And He says, my word will not go out and come back empty. I wish you the best as you rise up and walk into your true identity. Engage your talents and manifest the purpose that you are. You don't look for a purpose, it's not lost. You remember who you are. I thank you.